Hey friends, I'm Pete Hendrickson. I'm going to share with you a little lesson on the widely misunderstood, often misrepresented, and almost always exploitatively misapplied income tax. As will be shown through the information in this little video and others which will follow, contrary to what you've been led to believe your whole life, the income tax, as actually designed by the legislature and as interpreted by the United States Supreme Court over and over since its inception, is a very citizen-friendly and state-restraining body of law. This is why great effort over many decades has gone into sowing confusion on the subject. It's also why it's very important that such confusion be dispelled. The income tax is an excise, and excise taxes are privilege taxes. Taxation on income is, in its nature, an excise, entitled to be enforced as such. This was said by a unanimous Supreme Court in Bruchaber v. Union Pacific Railroad Company, 240 U.S. 1 in 1916, reiterating its conclusion in Pollock v. Farmers Loan and Trust, 158 U.S. 601 in 1895. Here's the affirmation on the very first income tax return form, which makes the same point about the excise nature of the tax. I hereby certify that the following is a true and faithful statement of the gains, profits, or income of the individual of such and such a county and such a state, whether derived from any kind of property, rents, interest, dividends, salary, or from any profession, trade, employment, or vocation, or from any other source, whatever, from the first day of January to the 31st day of December, 1862, both days inclusive, and subject to an income tax under the excise laws of the United States. The income tax is an excise tax with respect to certain activities and privileges which is measured by reference to the income which they produce. The income is not the subject of the tax, it is the basis for determining the amount of tax. These are the words of former Treasury Department legislative draftsman F. Morse Hubbard, which were read into the record in testimony before Congress in 1943. As was said in the Thomas case, 192 U.S. 363 Supra, the requirement to pay excise taxes involves the exercise of privilege. That's the Supreme Court again in Flint v. Stone Tracy, 220 U.S. 107 in 1911. Case law recognizes no distinction between a privilege tax and an excise tax. See Bank of Commerce and Trust Company v. Center, 260 Southwest 144-148, Tennessee, 1924. Whether the tax be characterized in the statute as a privilege tax or an excise tax is but a choice of synonymous words, for an excise tax is an indirect or privileged tax. American Airways, Incorporated v. Wallace, 57 F. 2nd, 877-880, Middle District of Tennessee, 1937. The terms excise tax and privilege tax are synonymous, and the two are often used interchangeably. See also 71 Am. Jur. 2nd, State and Local Taxation, Section 24. The term excise tax is synonymous with privilege tax, and the two have been used interchangeably. Whether a tax is characterized in the statute imposing it as a privilege tax or an excise tax is merely a choice of synonymous words, for an excise tax is a privilege tax. Thus, the excise tax before us is, by more complete description, purportedly an excise upon a particular privilege, assessed according to the quantity of substance possessed in enjoyment of such privilege. That's Waters v. Chumley, Court of Appeals of Tennessee, 2007. Privilege. A particular benefit or advantage enjoyed by a person, company, or class beyond the common advantages of other citizens. An exceptional or extraordinary power of exemption. A particular right, advantage, exemption, power, franchise, or immunity held by a person or class, not generally possessed by others. That's Black's Law Dictionary, 6th edition. For example, the government is an abstraction and its possession of property largely constructive. Actual possession and custody of government property nearly always are in someone who is not himself the government, but acts in its behalf and for its purposes. He may be an officer, an agent, or a contractor. His personal advantages from the relationship by way of salary, profit, or beneficial personal use of the property may be taxed. That's the Supreme Court again in United States v. County of Allegheny, 322 U.S. 174 in 1944. The privilege excise principle is very simple. For the government to be able to charge an indirect, non-apportioned fee, or tax, For engaging in an activity, the activity must be done by permission of the government, rather than anything done by right. This makes the thing done for which the fee can be charged necessarily and inherently an exercise of privilege. Payment of an excise tax is payment for the privilege of X, in the most basic sense of that expression. The reciprocal, of course, is that such a tax can't apply to things for which you don't need government permission, like trading your labor for pay with anyone except the feds, or engaging in any other economic activity not involving federal stuff. Since the right to receive commonly defined income or earnings is a right belonging to every person, this right cannot be taxed as privilege. That's Jack Coal Company versus Alfred T. McFarland, Commissioner, 337 Southwest 2nd, 453, 1960. Although the legislature may declare as privilege and tax as such for state revenue purposes those pursuits and occupations that are not matters of common right, the legislature has no power to declare as a privilege and tax for revenue purposes occupations that are of common right. The right to engage in an employment, to carry on a business, or pursue an occupation or profession not in itself hurtful or conducted in a manner injurious to the public, is a common right, which under our Constitution, as construed by all our former decisions, can neither be prohibited nor hampered by laying a tax for state revenue on the occupation, employment, business, or profession. Thousands of individuals in this state carry on their occupations as above defined, who derive no income whatever therefrom. But where an income is derived from any occupation, business, profession, or employment, then the legislature may lay thereon a tax. That's Sims v. Ahrens, 167 Arkansas 557, 271 Southwest 720, 594-595, Arkansas, 1925. The right to follow any of the common occupations of life is an inalienable right. And it has been well said that the property which every man has in his own labor, as it is the original foundation of all other property, so it is the most sacred and inviolable. The patrimony of the poor man lies in the strength and dexterity of his own hands, and to hinder his employing this strength and dexterity in what manner he thinks proper without injury to his neighbor is a plain violation of this most sacred property. Smith, Wealth of Nations, Book 1, Chapter 10. That's the Supreme Court again, in Butchers Union Company versus Crescent City Company, 111 U.S. 746, in 1883. Included in the right of personal liberty and the right of private property, partaking of the nature of each, is the right to make contracts for the acquisition of property. Chief among such contracts is that of personal employment, by which labor and other services are exchanged for money or other forms of property. Again, the Supreme Court, Coppedge v. Kansas, 236 U.S. 1 in 1915. So, the receipts subject to the federal excise, the income, in the federal income tax, are those produced through the exercise of certain federal privileges. Just like the name says, it's a federal income tax. Okay, that's it for now. What you've just seen is merely one small piece of a much larger puzzle, but it is a very important piece. So take it in and think about it. Then, if you wish, you can visit LostHorizons.com to learn more.